I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back, no turning back.
The
world behind me, the cross before me.
The world behind me,
the cross before me.
The world behind me,
the cross before me.
No turning back.
No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow.
Though none go with me, still I will follow.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back.
No turning back.
Will you decide?
Will you decide now to follow Jesus?
Will you decide now to follow Jesus?
Will you decide now to follow Jesus?
No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning.
No turning back.
No turning back.
Welcome to Cowboy Church. It's good to see you all out. It's good to see some faces I haven't seen in a while. It's good to see faces I see every week. It's good to see you all, each and every one of you. It's good to be with God's people on a Friday evening. The seasons are turning, though. As I stand here, I look out the door, and it's getting dark. Grace says there's a rainbow. That's neither here nor there. It's getting dark. It means the season's turning. It's the beginning of October, first Friday of the month, so that means there's communion tonight. Let's open in with a little bit of scripture. I'm going to be reading from Proverbs 30, and just a couple of verses. So if you want to follow along, I'm reading from Proverbs 30. I'm going to start in verse 4. This is from the Old Testament. This is hundreds or thousands of years before Christ was born. And it says, "Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him." And I'm so glad that we can put our trust in God. Let's open in prayer. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that we can put our trust in you. I thank you, God, that as we watch the turning of the seasons, that we can trust that the seasons will turn around again. And even as we head into the cold of winter, Lord, we know that there's a spring coming, when the sun will shine and warmth will bring out the new leaves and everything will be made new again, Lord. And I thank you, God, that you work in our hearts and our lives to make us new again as well. I thank you for the saving grace that you brought through the death and resurrection of your son, Jesus. And I thank you for the communion, the sacrament that we celebrate tonight. I thank you for each and every one of these people who are here tonight to celebrate with us, to hear your words preached, Lord. I thank you that we have a preacher, Lord, a man of God, to stand behind this pulpit and bring the words that you have given him, Lord, and preach them out, and that they may fall into our hearts, and like good seed, that they would grow. And I pray, God, for an increase, Lord, tenfold, a hundredfold in our lives, God, that we would be invigorated, and Lord, that we would be blessed, and that we'd be encouraged, and that we'd be made closer to the image of your son, Jesus Christ, I pray. I pray that your hand would rest upon Pastor Ken as he preaches. And Lord, that your hand would rest upon every part of this service. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm going to continue on last week from the scripture that I left on. We had a series here for about 3 to 4 weeks on who is Jesus. Today we seem to have a problem of people trying to understand or don't understand who Jesus is. And there's so much fake news out there about who is Jesus. You hear all that he was a great man, that he was a great prophet. No, he was greater than that. He is our Lord, our Savior, and our King, and he died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again the third day. And this very moment, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. He's more than just a great man. He's more than just a prophet. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And he's high and lifted up, and his glory fills the temple. That's who he is. That's who he is. So for younger people, if you're taking notes tonight, we have an exam usually after the service. I hate exams. When I went and had to... education that you have to take as a preacher and those things. Whoever created exams just didn't like people. So we're going to start where we left off last week. I want to read this text taken from Luke chapter 24. I'm preaching out of the New King James tonight. I hope that's okay with you. New King James reads as follows. I'm going to just back up a little bit. Verse 44. And he said to them, that's Jesus, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, thus it is written. And thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Now it is, verse 49, here it is. Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And who is that power? It's the Holy Spirit. That's who we're singing about tonight. The Holy Spirit, that he may come in and take up residence in our lives, in our homes. You know, you hear a lot about people believe in the Father and the Son. But who is the Holy Spirit? We talk about him. But do you know him? Do you have a relationship with him? He is a person, just like Jesus was and the Father is. I give an example. You have water, ice, and steam. Now, all our young education students here know that they're all the same, right? It's all water. Steam, ice, and water. And that is the way it is with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're different, but they're the same. I can't get much simpler than that. That's about as simple as you can get for an illustration of who the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, right away, some people just kind of get, well, this is not the Force from Star Wars. Come on now. Ooh, the Force is here. I'm not going to see how many Trekkies we have here. Or he's not some ghost kind of hovering around. No. He is a being, and tonight we're going to look at Scripture, and Scripture is going to tell us exactly who he is and what he does. He always has been. So we're going to start right in the beginning of the book. It's always good to start in Genesis. Genesis, chapter 1, verse 2. Here we are going to meet the Holy Spirit. If you want to flip to that, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Remember, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, and that is who Jesus is. Now we're going to look at who the Holy Spirit is. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And here it is. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. There it is. Always has been. From the beginning of time, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit always have been. If we didn't have the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have creation. We wouldn't have the universe. We wouldn't have mankind. We wouldn't have the Bible. We wouldn't have the power to proclaim the gospel, the good news. Without the Holy Spirit, we would have none of those things. There'd be no new birth, no Christians, no divine healing, no infilling. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need to recognize who He is. So tonight we're going to do exactly that. We're going to go to the book of Zechariah, which many times people don't end up in that book because it can be kind of an interesting book. It has so much in it. The book of Zechariah teaches about the now and the future. But tonight we're only going to take one verse out of the book of Zechariah. And most of you would know this by heart. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. You have heard this repeated many, many, many times. Which reads as follows. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by who? Can I hear that one more time? By my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. So I want to give you a little bit of a history lesson here first. Who is Zerubbabel and Zechariah? Just a little bit of history. Just bear with me. For those of you that are all scholars here, you say, oh man, here we go again, history. Well, let me just lay I like laying a bit of a foundation. The Israelites were disobedient to God, and God told them in Deuteronomy before they even got into the promised land, if you'll serve me, here's the promises, and if you don't, I'm going to scatter you over the face of the earth. That's paraphrased. You can read it in Deuteronomy. So what happened? The Babylonians, first the Assyrians came in and took over the part called Israel. And then the Babylonians came in and sacked Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, removed anything of any value, and took the captives to a place called Babylon, which is today modern-day Iraq. And God said, you're going to be there for 70 years. You're going to be there for 70 years. And then come along the Medes and Persians. The Persians, it used to be Iran. Iran is a Persian country, but it's been changed when the Arabs came in. We're talking modern day here. So the Medes and Persians came in and defeated the Babylonians, and so some of the Jews ended up now in Iran. But along came a king that God laid it on his heart. His name was Cyrus. And he said, I'm going to allow you to go back and rebuild your temple. It was the time. You heard of a lady called Esther, Queen Esther? There was a bit of a revival in the land, and somehow Cyrus, the king, got into this thing, and he said, who wants to go back, you could go back to Jerusalem. So they lined up their donkeys and their camels. And the trek is about 2 months, 2 to 3 months. We're not talking on a flight here in a 747. I'm talking a camel. I don't know how many Ks you can do in a day, but it's a long trip. So they go back to Jerusalem. Now, God had told Zechariah to speak into Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple. Now, when they get back there, there was all different people groups around that discouraged the Israelites and threatened them not to rebuild that temple. It sounds a lot like Israel today. You know what? Some things just don't change. They're still the only one there, surrounded by a bunch of people that really want to kill them. And this was going on then, and there was fear, and they weren't building the temple, and it was slow going. And they got discouraged and depressed and fearful, and they even quit for a period of time. And along comes Zechariah, and he says, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might." What does that mean? It says, "You will not do this by military strength." Not by military strength. Not going to do it by, nor by power. It's not going to be in your own strength. But it's going to be by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit. You know, I love going through the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God would place the Holy Spirit on an individual. Just like Elijah coming back from Mount Carmel, and it says he's running, and he's running ahead of Ahab's horse. He's running. Now you say, well, he must have been a real athlete. No, it's the Holy Spirit. He was just smoking her. Samson gets the jawbone of a donkey, and he slew a whole bunch of Philistines. I'm sure he was strong, but you don't do that kind of stuff in your own strength. What about the donkey, Balaam's donkey? There's an angel standing in the alleyway, and Balaam is riding his donkey. And the donkey sees the angel, but his master, Balaam, don't see the angel. And so the donkey's trying to push it, and he's smacking that donkey. Come on, get ahead here. What's your problem? Finally, the donkey lays down. Now he's really mad at his donkey. And the donkey looks up and says, "Why are you hitting me? I've been so good to you. Haven't I been a good donkey?" Now, have you ever heard a donkey talk? Well, I'll tell you, it would change your life if you did. The Holy Spirit got a hold of that donkey. So the Holy Spirit is a real person. He feels, he laughs with joy. He grieves, he's grieved. He is a real person. And you have to know him by name. When you ask, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart," and the Holy Spirit comes in and takes up residence in your life, and it changes you. And like I said before, usually the first thing he cleans up is your mouth. Some of those choice words you used to use. Nope. It ain't in your vocabulary anymore. It's gone. Some of those thoughts you used to have. Thoughts of lust. Thoughts of greed. Stealing. Immoral thoughts. The Holy Spirit comes into your life. He's going to clean your thought pattern. Because you're a new creation. All things are passed away. You've been born again. We just sang that chorus, come Holy Spirit, I need you. Come sweet Spirit, I pray. Fill me. Use me. There's one part just really jumped out at me this week that really has no part of this message, but it really spoke to me. If you just flip ahead to chapter 11 in Zechariah. I highlighted this in my Bible. This is for us preachers. Do you know how it grieves the Holy Spirit when a preacher falls into sin? I've been around a few years. I might look old on the outside, but I'm still young on the inside. I've seen a lot of things, a lot of good men, godly men, fall into sin. They tell us with preachers, there's three things you better be prepared for. This is where the devil's going to try to get a hold of your life. It's called the three G's. The gold, the glory, or the gals. Three G's. The gold, the glory, or the gals? And how many preachers over the years have you seen fall in one of these areas, or all of them? They can't handle the success. They can't handle all the money coming in. They can't handle it. And it consumes them. And Zechariah lays it out very clearly, chapter 11, 17. Woe. When God says woe, I mean it's woe. Woe. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. A sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm shall completely wither and his right eye shall be totally blind. There are consequences for ungodly shepherds. And how many sheep have been destroyed because of ungodly leadership? I tell you, the enemy will come after us with everything that he has, because if he can get us, he destroys a lot of people in the process. So I'm just saying that today. Pray for your pastors. Pray for me. I am so blessed to have a godly wife of 53 years. When the Lord says that he gave man a helpmate, and it was a female, still is. It's one of the greatest gifts you can ever get. And when it comes, for you women, when God gives you a godly man, that's the greatest gift you can ever have, because God calls us the priests of our home. We are the covering. We are to protect our families. That's where Adam failed. Where was Adam when Satan was tempting Eve? Where was he? At work, doing the garden. Yep. He was a workaholic. No, I'm just kidding. Doesn't say that. Work with me here now. Come on. Where was he? We don't know how long Satan tempted Eve. We don't know how long he worked on her. It didn't just happen overnight. You know, Satan, how he does that. Come on. What's the problem here? What's one little drink? Come on. What's one joint? Come on, you can watch a little porn. It ain't going to hurt anybody. That's what the enemy of your soul does. He'll give you a little bite. He won't help you drink the whole 26 in one shot. Just come on, one little drink. Everybody else is doing it. Am I sounding too hard on you tonight? Man, this has nothing to do with my notes. I'm saying this to you because as a shepherd, I love you guys. Because I have to stand to give an account for you. And if God says to me, why didn't you say what I told you to say? I don't want to hear that. I want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. That's what you want to hear. Enter into your rest. Those are the words we want to hear. Now we're going to flip to Mark. Going to Mark 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke. To Mark. Mark 16. This will be my final few verses that I'll read. Mark 16, picking up on verse 15, and he said to them, that's Jesus. So in your Bible, that should be in red. If it's not, you got the wrong Bible. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. It's your free will. You decide. Are you going to believe? And 17, and these are the signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. Jesus very clearly said in his word, I give you authority to cast out demons. What did Jesus do? He said, you'll do even greater things in my name. So when you don't go, whoa, what's that? Yes, there are demons. And over the years I've seen them in manifest in people. They're real. Jesus dealt with them all the time. And these are the signs that'll follow. Them that believe my name, they'll cast out demons. They will speak in other tongues. If you get into the book of Acts, they spoke in other tongues. He said, now that you believe, have you received? It's a prayer language that's available to everyone. You simply have to ask for it. And then we continue on. And they will take up serpents. You're going, okay, what does that mean? Well, remember when Paul had the shipwreck and he ended up on the island of Malta? And he was there and they were gathering wood to make a fire because they were all wet, the shipwreck. And this snake comes out of the fire and wraps itself around Paul's arm. And the islanders are looking, oh, he's dead. No one gets bit with this thing and lives. Paul just, in the fire. We're going to have snake soup tonight. Done. Have you ever had snake soup? I won't tell that story tonight. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. So what does that mean? You don't go around going, okay, let's try this one, see if it kills me. You don't do stuff like that. But one thing, whenever I eat and wherever I eat, I pray over my food. God protect me. A friend of mine was ministering in Africa. And in the village that they're in, everything goes into a big pot. They just throw in the meat and whatever they have in the pot. And they just keep cooking on that fire and you're stirring it up. And the pot was ready and it was boiling, and they gave everybody a great big leaf, and they put some of that good stew on the leaf there. Nice and clean, don't wash your hands. And he said, "Wow," he said. "What is this?" Well, the individual making the soup said, "Well, do you like duck?" "Oh," he said, "yeah, I love duck." So he ate that. It was really tasty. So he went back, got another leaf, put some more of that great stew on his leaf. And he said to the man, "This is really good duck." "No," the man said, "I said to you, if you like duck, you'll like this." "No, that is rat soup." He said, "I'm out behind the shack just up chucking with everything I got." So we need to make sure we pray over everything we eat. I know your girls, your mom has never made rat soup. I know. In conclusion, "And they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they'll lay their hands on the sick, and they'll recover. And that's done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord God Almighty." That's the power. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you're not plugged into 120 anymore, you're plugged into 220. Makes all the difference. Lord, today we thank you for the food that has been prepared, and Lord, I pray a blessing on the hands that have brought it. And bless it to our bodies, you. In your name I pray. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord's countenance be upon you and give you peace.
Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human worlds abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Lo, the great King of kings, with healing in his wings, to every captive soul, our full deliverance brings. And through the vacant cells, the song of triumph rings. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. Boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to unremorted tell the matchless grace divine, that I, a child of hell, should in his image shine. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Oh, spread the tidings, oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter.